on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One with Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show and we are up for a big one tonight. Leon Price and Luke Robinson are in the house.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, boys. Good evening. Fresh from Luke Robinson's testimonial match. We're going to be having big Tony Tonks from Dewsbury here this evening also to join us. And tonight's show will be covering all things rugby league. So let's get it on. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
No messing about tonight, boys. No messing about. Straight into the show. Loads to talk about. Evening, how's it going?
All good. Not too bad.
All good.
Rob has only just got up because he just finished counting all his money from the testimonial match.
I wish that were true.
So you had... We're just going to need to do the simple mathematics of it all, Leon. You know, £15 ahead, and there was... I counted there was 10,500, apparently.
Oh, you'll be getting a mature weight tax man.
Tax man? Well, he's running around telling everyone only 500 people turned up. So what is it? So we were kind of discussing it off air. When I had my testimonial right back in 2004... it was your committee fundraised for you, and you got a big golden handshake at the end of the year. But now I think because quite a few footballers who make quite a lot of money, and you know a single football match can just bring in a crazy amount of money. If you're talking about a full stadium that holds 70,000 people, I think the tax man was considering, oh, well, that's taking the mickey a little bit. But actually, those footballers represent 1% of professional sportsmen, don't you, or semi-pro sportsmen. So the government implemented a corporation's tax on...
Testimonials. Yeah, so unfortunately for me, just as my luck happens, that there's only ever
when did it start?
I think it's only been around for a couple of years, and they've decided to. For that reason, they decided that a lot of football is making a lot of money, so they're going to start taxing. Well, fair enough, they're on a lot of money, but then they realise that there's a lot of smaller sports like rugby league and boxing and other sports.
I mean, yeah, professional athletics, tennis. Yeah, there's so many professional athletes out there that actually only survive just on the breadline, but are trying to take their game to the next level. So they're barely professionals. Championship rugby, rugby union, football, so many different tiers where you're barely a professional sportsman, and that comes very, very heavy on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, so what they've done is, I totally understand what you just... Unfortunately for me, falls right within this couple of years. So from April this year, there's then it's £100,000 tax free. So it's from next year it's tax free, and I just fall in the tax
three
bracket.
After. So you can't even string it out. I was asking you these questions. Yeah. Could you string it out just so you could actually tiptoe into that?
It'd be nice, but the way it was, I was just really, really chuffed that I've got to have a testimonial. Do you know what I mean? The way I retired and that,
your mouth's saying one thing, but your eyes are saying, you look like a very wary man right now.
Oh, we're tired.
How long is it? 9 months into it?
Do you know what? Well, you know yourself, Robert. They're hard work out there.
It's exhausting.
They're hard work. You're exhausted and it feels like you've got, you know, you're a businessman as well as your other job, but I was just happy that I got it, especially with the Bulls drama and everything that's gone on. I was really, really worried that I wasn't get one, but... You know, me and my poor wife had to organise basically a game and an event within 5 days. So it was just all hands on the pump. She's poorly. I think I've got two cold sores, as you can see, so I'm very tired. It's a bit of a giveaway for me. But thankfully, you know, the Huddersfield fans turned out in force. The Bradford Bulls turned out in force. So, and you know what? It worked out a really good day.
10,000 people over the line at a tenner each. You know, that's 100K in the back pocket. Pow, pow. Leon, you've nearly spent 20 years. 20 years in this game, excuse me. 20 years in this game. When's your testimonial?
I'm not too sure yet, Robert. I'm just concentrating on getting the boys going first, and I'll concentrate on that a little bit a bit low on.
Whatever.
Nice.
Do you believe that? I'm looking over at his at him right now. He's got a pen in his hand. He's just working out how many people he need turn up to the game and what price he should put it in. It's inspired him, I think.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what? There's a bit of a good feel factor around the Bradford Bulls at the moment. You know, when they came to this week, they probably. They were all very buoyant, weren't they? They're a new club around, so it'd be a good time to have one, really, Leon.
I mean, that's exactly right. After the dramas of the last, effectively, 10 weeks, to actually see the boys play.
Oh, amazing. I loved it.
Inspiring. I mean, it was a very young team. All the players left are very young, except for Leon, like you said. The closest player next to you is 25 years of age. But I tell you what, they showed a doggedness against, a well-drilled and less dramed Huddersfield Giants outfit with a lot of first teamers in it. You know, the spine of the team was in there for at least 60 minutes with Briley and Brough in the halves. So
it was a great showing. I think it could either go two ways. It can either bring you together and galvanise you, or you could go the opposite way where you just fall apart and nobody was sure what was going to happen, but on the day, I thought the young boys were outstanding. The full team, there wasn't a player that didn't play well. Every single player from 1 to 25 were fantastic. And the young boys were leading the way. The young lads that are 17, 18, they're leading the way like it were a proper Super League. Like, Huddersfield are Super League quality players. Good players, very good players. And our boys stuck up for each other. And I'm not saying, you know, we were amazing and we were going to beat loads of other teams. But for the circumstances that we were in, I thought the boys were outstanding.
I saw enough. I saw the tools. The tools are in place there with the right nurturing. Guys like yourself, new head coach coming in, then actually the future is bright with those players developing over the next few years. What about you, Robert?
I also think, you know, sometimes, in adversity, sometimes it can pull you all together. And if you get the right coaching staff involved that can sort of galvanise that and get a good sort of team spirit, you know, half the times you can win games just on pure enthusiasm, effort alone. So the signs look good for Bradford.
And from Huddersfield's point of view, obviously a big Huddersfield listenership also, how pleased were you with the way your boys ran out and went about their business?
Oh, we had a first team squad out. I think we had nine of us starting, probably going to be nine of us 13 out, which wasn't playing. So we've still got a lot of names to add, you know, waiting to come over yet. And the other odds, what's it for? I'm getting losing my marbles, mammo. So, you know, we've still got people to come back in the side, and it were a good hit out. You know, I always think
it was a good game. It was a really good game.
There was a bit of spice in there
But for us, you've got to remember, for our boys, a lot of them guys have never even made the first team debut. They're playing against Danny Brough, one of the best players in the league. Played Ryan Bailey, Mello was playing, who would just come from Bradford. Adam O'Brien were playing for him. So they had players in there that were good players, Super League standard players. So for
international class players,
so
as well.
It was a big test
Ruffy
for us.
He had a great international series last year for Scotland.
Oh, he's a fantastic player, mate.
He's an awesome player. So for our boys, a few of them could have been a little bit stuck in the headlights, a bit starstruck, but we got in there and had a good dig, and it was a good fair contest.
So Leon starts his career at the age of 16. He's 35 now. You're 35 now?
35, bro.
35, going on 36 this year.
Mm-hmm. October.
So that's 20 years. That's double testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously, in your final season of your playing, I think you have made it known you want to hang up the boots at the end of this year.
Unless you know, the big dollars are being put under you.
There's always an unless.
Hopefully, yeah.
I was saying you must be laying down the law at this point in time and trying to make sure that your year goes out. Because in reality, this could be the most important season ever for the Bradford Bulls. Considering the adversity, considering there's a 12-point deficit staring down the barrel of that, this could be the season that, you know, that it can be a real launch pad for the future of the club.
I just want to talk a little bit about what Robbo was saying. And you can buy in the best players. Real Madrid over the years have been like the Galacticos. They can buy in the best players. But what you can't buy is a togetherness. And at the moment, we are very, very together. And you can't replicate that. You can't buy that spirit. Every time after training, we go for coffee together. Every single day, we're together. Days off, we're spending together. Nobody's rushing home. There's no Lancashire bus to drive off as soon as you finish. There's no other bus that just want to get out of there quickly. We've got a group of 20 lads that all want to live with, hang around with each other. And that, you can't replicate.
I think so. I'm totally in agreement with Leon. I think Salford pretty much showed that, you know, Mau and Kukash in his naivety thought that it was a sport a little bit likened to football where you can come in and literally just go, these are my best players, we're going to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
And as Leon said, in rugby league especially, with it being such a team, it is such a team game, you have to have that camaraderie and that togetherness. And I think it could bode all well for Bradford that this, you know, going through adversity can bring them together, sure, really.
Absolutely.
And no matter what, even the little wins, the small wins, everything's going to be one step back towards the light, isn't it?
It is. I still believe we need some more, but I still believe we're short of players. We're short of experience. Listen, I'm sick of hearing my own voice already, and we're not even starting the season yet. I'm 35. The next one down to me is Omari at 25. So we're going to need some experience. We need some older heads. But for where we are and what we've been through, we're in a good position, and the players are bouncing a little bit.
Well, Ruben Wickie's come out of retirement to play for the New Zealand Warriors at the ripe old age of 44. So, but actually, I'm not putting on the boots again. Don't worry, Wolves fans, you're happy. It's all good. All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, hopefully the big Tonka truck will be here by then, and we'll be cracking on with all the sports hot topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Join the biggest names in the game for the latest news, special guests, and opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, looking at all the sports' hottest topics, and we have been joined by that man, Tony Tonks, from Dewsbury fame. Tony, welcome to the show once again, pal.
Thanks for having me, pal.
No problem. Look, you just got to speak into the mic. Yeah. You know the way this works. You know, you're not your first time, Big T. So how are things going over with Morrow and the boys over at Dewsbury? How's your preparations going?
It's going really well. We've got a good young squad now, so quite a few old lads have moved on and retired. I'm one of the oldest there now, so I'm starting thinking about.
Yeah, but you are pretty
up.
Old though. You
yeah,
know, Tonka.
I feel it. As
how
well.
Old are you now?
31.
31.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
A lot younger than you are.
A lot younger. Yeah, that does make me feel old, though. So, when you, what time, when did you start up at the Bulls? How old were you?
17.
Only a Ben.
Yeah, young kid. Looking at you and seeing what you got up to as an old man then.
I led you in the right pathway. Wasn't I a great mentor?
You are, though.
Well, actually, you never looked
then.
At me because I was a halfback and you were a donkey.
Yeah, that's right. You were too quick, weren't you, at the end of the day?
Stay away from you guys.
But yeah, it's going well down at Dewsbury. We've got some new young blood in there. We've got a young lad called Brad Foster who is related to me, who's knocking a few bodies about and doing well.
Asked you to say that about him?
No.
So I've got a good young lad, Brad Foster. Yeah. Super League team, keep an eye out for me.
My mum told me to say that.
He was. Keep it in the blood. We've got to look after our own. Yeah.
Well, there's a few other good lads who's come on board as well. Robbie Ward, who was
good name.
At Leeds. At Leeds Rhinos and Featherstone Rovers last year. He's brought some really good stuff to the Rams and it were needed. Got a young kid as well called Hamish who's come on board, and I think he's come from Keighley, and he's really stood up well and pushing a lot of older guys out there. And it's good to see because we've had some friendlies, and if you put another stone on him, you could play him at prep because he goes in well, and it's good to see.
Mate, you'll be out of a job then.
Oh, mate, you know, I'm getting there now, aren't I? So... But yeah, it's all going well down there with Glenn Morrison and Johnny Schofield doing some really good work down there, keeping the team together. They're not on the best of budget, small club, budget, keeping a good group of lads together.
So, I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when the Bulls came out to play at Dewsbury, I think you were at Halifax at that time, maybe, possibly. It was a couple of years ago. You joined Dewsbury last year, wasn't it?
Yes.
After Halifax?
Sheffield.
So... 2 years ago, though, the Bulls turned out with such a big crowd that it broke the stadium record. And it was great. I mean, for some of the smaller clubs that don't have great big stadiums, it's a nice little payday for them to have the Bulls travelling army come along.
It's great, and it's good to see that Bradford have survived this as well, because you need a Bradford Bulls. You need a Bradford Bulls rugby club in Bradford, because I looked when I played with Sheffield, at Blackpool, and the Bradford support there were immense.
Oh yeah, it was crazy.
And they turned them Featherstone Rovers and a few other decent clubs there with a good supporting crowd made it a great day.
So you can actually tell Leon this actually for over the course of this season, Leon. You got to understand when you play when you go to all other clubs, they love playing against the Bulls because they get an atmosphere that they don't usually get week in, week out, don't they?
That's right. It's great because you're like, you want to prove yourself and you know that there's that many, well, the atmosphere is that immense. You know, you just want to put your best in and you want to put your Senate shop window as well.
So what you're trying to say is that everybody's going to raise a game for us?
Just for you this
Fantastic.
Year.
Fantastic.
Just for you, Leon, just personally. And you've got to understand also, Leon, Dewsbury's is a crown flag. What's the name of the stadium now?
Tetley Stadium.
Tetley Stadium. The Tetley Stadium is only a postage stamp. So for the big boys like these guys, they love it because it's not expansive and wide, isn't it?
No, it's
a very physical game against Dewsbury at Dewsbury.
We played the Yowies
Fantastic.
The other week and they were looking at the field and going, where's the field? And we were saying, this is it, pal. He's going, give over. We went, no, this is his field. And they wanted to play a different game and we had to force them down middle and it was a right good bash up. It was good.
I always think that it was such a tough place to go and play just because of the size of the pitch. Yeah. And, you know, also, even though the stadium's only small, the supporters sit right on the sideline. Yeah. So they almost feel like they're a part of it and
it's great.
It makes it daunting.
It is, and they're right behind you and they're very vocal, and especially when it's... Dewsbury and Batley. It's very cool. Yeah. I like them.
That's the other game. That is the other game. So obviously when the Bulls come, it's a different because they're the glamour boys of the championship competition. But the real game is, what's it called? It's got a special name, hasn't it?
The Heavy Woolen Derby,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's good because, you know, when I played at Featherstone, we played against Halifax and that was like a big derby. Yeah, but when you come against Dewsbury and Batley, when you're looking through a window, it's or you read it paper, you just say, it's just a derby. But when you're a part of it, it's like, wow.
It's on a smaller level, but not any less passionate than Hull FC and what Leon, Hull KR and Hull FC, what they've got to experience over the last couple of years. I'm just thinking, Leon, when it's time to go up and play on the hill at Mount Pleasant, are you going to be busted that week?
I might be on holiday, yeah.
I've
never actually, the old time I've played, I've never played in that field, and I went there the other day and just thought, how could you actually play rugby on here? I played my amateur rugby for Queensbury, and that were a bad hill. But wow, that is ridiculous.
No disrespect to Cumbrian teams, but it's...
Is it bad up there as well?
Oh, mate, you'd love it up there.
Well, you're lucky because...
I am both, so lucky.
Both Whitehaven and obviously Workington have both slipped down into the...
Oh, they got the
league
both gone. Yes.
The thing is,
so you've got Barrow, Whitehaven and
But when
Workington.
You travel up there, you know you're in for a good game. And I love going up to Cumbria and... Possibly my last season this, so you know I'll miss going up to Cumbridge.
Is that right? Well, are you a bit like Leon as well? If the money comes in front of you, you'll reconsider.
Well, money or marriage. Wife's looking at me now and starting thinking about retiring. So.
Okay, so talking about your private life, let's go into your line of work. Obviously, you've done so much work in raising the awareness of heart conditions and obviously the charity that you work for. What is your project that you're working on at the moment?
So we're working on a project now with the Yorkshire Ambulance Service, and it's a great project because we're trying not just to raise awareness, we're trying to do something about it. And I'm going to pass you over to Neil in a bit, who can go into a bit more.
Sorry, just introduce Neil
so
and what he does.
We've got Neil at the side of me here from the Yorkshire Ambulance Service, who's going to talk a lot more about why it's important to have one of these packages, what we're coming up with today. So I'll push you over to Neil now. So
thanks for that. Well, we're doing a lot of interesting work in the community with lots of different people. And I think this is one of the most interesting ones I've been working with. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that as many people have got access to a defibrillator as possible. What we want to be able to do is have the best success rates in the whole of the UK for people who have cardiac arrests in Yorkshire. So if your heart stops in Yorkshire, we want to give you the best chance of restarting it. Mm-hmm. And we've had that success already over the last years with various things that we're doing. So we know that having a defibrillator available when patients collapse makes a big difference. And the other thing that we're doing now is trying to make more of those more available to the public. So one way of doing that is by having them in a cabinet that we can tell the public when they need it what the code is for the cabinet. So we've come out with this joint idea, haven't we?
Yeah.
Where we're offering communities a cabinet with a defibrillator in, with some training, for £700.
And where will they be placed?
Anywhere where there's people. So any community groups, you know,
clubs,
rugby
sports clubs,
gyms, all sorts of things like that. And the benefit of this is that it's not just inside a building, it'll be on the outside. So say you had one on the outside of the building here. that's available 24/7, not just for the time that you've got people in the building, which is really, really good, because you never know when somebody's heart might stop or might have a bit of a problem.
No, of course.
You know, and basic, simple first aid training along with one of these machines maximises the chance of being able to restart some heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an ambulance that's going to save that person's life. It's the person that sees it happen, because you've got to act within a few minutes. So it's about public awareness, public training, and access to publicly available defibrillators, isn't it? Yes.
Now, with social media, you probably do have an opportunity to share that sort of message on how to quite quickly. I've learned how to de-choke my child when they're just purely and simply on a campaign that was going around from the NHS. Yeah. This is how you get a jelly baby out of your child.
That's right. That was a really good campaign, wasn't it?
Yes, brilliant.
Yeah, really good campaign.
So doing something similar along those lines.
Well, we had a fantastic time with the schools, didn't we?
Yeah,
last year, we went into schools. I forget how many thousands of school children that were trained in one day in last year. And that project's gone national.
Well, when you take him in there, don't they scare him? Yeah. Isn't he? Or is he like a bull man or a big mascot?
It's about the one day you actually get some work out of the kids because they're all quiet.
We did some of the feedback we had off that. We went into some classrooms with four-year-olds. And it was just about, what is an emergency? And we went through some routines with him. We had him, singing it out, and it was great. And the response we had from 4 years up to 12-year-olds, they were sending letters into school. What parents said, this is immense. This is brilliant. We can't believe what we've been doing.
I've just got that idea of the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, and he's got kids hanging all over him.
Kindergarten
cop. You can just picture it. All right, boys. I'm going to ask you to stick with us. We're going to go for another break, and we'll be back after the break to catch up with Tonka and all the sports hot topics. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the little general, Luke Robinson. We also have the big Tonka truck himself, Tony Tonks of Dewsbury's fame, and actually he's been at every club in West Yorkshire, you name it, he's been there, running, being a tank down the middle of the park. Guys... And Neil, sorry, what Neil? What's your surname?
It's Neil Marseille.
Marseille. Where's that name from?
Well,
you French?
It's somewhere. I'm over on from the coast, somewhere around.
You
Scarborough.
Do. You have no idea where you're really from.
Got to be from France. It's got to be from France.
No, it isn't.
Can't be called Marseille, not be from France.
Leon is our resident expert on everything.
You're from France. I'm just letting you know you're from France. All right.
Just say we miss you.
My family story is that we come from Whitby and we came in on a ship.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that boat came from France.
That's it.
To Whitby. I've just done your family tree for you.
To be honest, but he won't admit that he's French. He just won't. That's a true Yorkshireman, isn't it?
It is.
Through and through. Okay, Neil, you were just explaining. So give us an in-depth explanation on how these boxes will work outside these community hubs.
Yeah, well, it's not really in-depth because it's pretty straightforward, and that's why I want the trick is we want as many people as possible to be aware of these and to sponsor these. And that's where the package that Tony's working on is coming and is doing an awareness evening to try and bring people in on the 1st of Feb over at Cedar Court at Wakefield, because we want to try and explain in more detail what this is all about, because we've got a really good way of making sure that we can offer these defibrillators out to the community at a cost price, as cheap as possible. But the whole idea is, if you collapse on the floor, you see somebody collapse on the floor, ring 999. We will teach you first aid over the telephone and tell you what to do, whether they've just fainted and they come round, or if the heart has stopped, we'll tell you what to do. And that's simply pushing hard and fast on the chest.
Just to get it out there as well, if there's not one of these boxes available, that doesn't mean you don't call 999.
That's right.
If someone goes to ground with an ailment, you still call 999.
Yeah, and the thing is, there may well be one available, but you might not have seen it from where you're stood.
Yes.
But our computer will see it. And if it's within run distance, we'll say, just round the corner by the post office, there's a cabinet, big yellow cabinet, code is 1234, get the machine out of there, bring it to the patient, we'll tell you what to do. And doing that will allow us to save lives. When we're looking at gyms, at sport clubs, at community groups, if they can get involved with this is a project that you can fundraise for, and it's not a lot of money, which will make a direct benefit for your community. Not for a city somewhere else, but for your local community.
So what was that price again? £700?
Yeah.
Fundraise 700.
Come along to the networking event that we've got on the 1st of February and I'll explain what it is that we've got. But you get a cabinet and a defibrillator for £700. Now, what we've been able to do is to refurbish some defibrillators that we have. Mm-hmm. And they've got a warranty of a year. So you've then got the opportunity in that 12 months to fundraise a further £900, which will allow you to get a brand new defibrillator that's got a 10-year lifespan on it. So starting from scratch, you've got the opportunity to fundraise £700 and then £900, which gives you a defibrillator and a cabinet that's there for 11 years. You know, and it's straightforward to do, isn't it? I should think all you guys here, you've all been involved with first aid and things. And I guess you know about CPR and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, to be fair, my wife obviously does a lot of running. She said that the defibrillators are popping up more and more often when she sees, you know, when she's out and about running. She seems to think that down the canal where she runs now, she's seen a lot more of these boxes, which I think is great for everyone. I think probably from my own education, having some young boys that play down at Siddle Rugby League Club, we have a defibrillator, but I never knew where it was. And I think that's kind of been a little bit of an issue that I've realised. Yeah.
And this is what you were on about, Tony, wasn't it? You were saying that the one of the key things is that sometimes you know from your personal experience there might be a defibrillator at a location, but you can't get at it and the kids can't get at it.
Well, the thing is with these cabinets, when you're walking to your rugby club or like this, it's big, it's yellow, and you look at it and think, what the bloody hell is that? So when you're looking at it, it's got AED on it, so it's a defibrillator. You know that you've got one. So if Luke Siddle had have had one, it'd have been a nice big box there telling him they've got one.
I'd like to see a box that's able to keep you away. I mean, some of us little blokes might not be able to get into that box, Tony, but if you wanted to get into a box, you just someone just yell out, there's some chocolates in there, Tony.
No, it's great. It's got a code on it and everything. It's like Neil says, you've got a code.
So I'm guessing they will hook the digital code, or electronic code, into the mains, so it's constantly having electricity fed into it.
Yeah, well, basically, when you get one of these cabinets, all we need to do is a bit of electricity into the cabinet so that it'll just keep the frost off the machine. Mm-hmm. The rest of it doesn't need a lot of electricity. So the running cost of these things is dead cheap. Mm-hmm. So you're not spending a lot of money on it. And what it is, our computer in our control room will have the information about that. And if you need that when you've rung us, we'll tell you how to help the patient and provide the first aid for them. We'll tell you where the defibrillator is and we'll tell you how to use that. But also in this package that Tony's organised, we're providing training, a cabinet and a defibrillator and the opportunity to have a defibrillator for 10 years. You can't do better than that, can you? I think it's an amazing thing.
No, I think it's fantastic as well.
One of the biggest things what's pushed me to get this in is that when I've been taking my kids to sports clubs for training and stuff, some clubs have got them. It's like Luke says, they're locked up or you didn't even know you got them. Mm-hmm. So, but if you've got it outside and it's there staring at you, you know that it's safe. It's a defib-friendly organisation and that's what we're after.
Yeah, to be fair, I think Siddle have come a long way. They're probably one of the leading sports clubs with everything now. But probably a little bit of, I don't know, probably me being a little bit uneducated as to... Sometimes, I suppose, within a sports
club... Should we just leave it at that?
Sometimes within a sports club, you just think, oh, well, somebody else will do it or somebody else will know. Yeah. It was probably my own fault, really. Being a parent, I'd like to... You know, I should have probably gone out and asked, but they are getting better now. And as Tony says, if they're there in big yellow box, then everybody knows exactly what they are and knows exactly where they are.
No, I think I understand exactly what you're saying, Robbo, because when you think about people with heart issues, you always think it's someone else. It's like, we all used to think when we're growing up with people that get affected by cancer, actually, you always think it's someone else. And it isn't until it impacts on you directly that you see how prevalent it is. And obviously, with the work the likes of that you're doing, Tony, and your... You know, and what happened with Danny, it's brought it really to the forefront in our mind's eyes. And I think it's wonderful the amount of momentum that rugby league has got behind this specific, public ailment, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. But we've lost other people as well, like St. Janellis, Adam Mateen, who were at Bradford with us.
Roy Powell.
We've lost Leon Walker. Oh, rugby, great assets to rugby league. They were good for rugby and we've been learning. I learned from it. When I took this charity on, I was learning so much from it and I saw how distraught the families were and I was thinking, something's got to be done and these are the steps that we're taking and put in place and it's just something we have to clean up.
Well, I thank you both for coming on the show. So just once again, on the 1st of February at Cedar Court, Wakefield, what day is 1st of February there? Wednesday.
Yeah.
So Wednesday night, there's going to be a, if you're involved with a sports club, if you're involved with any type of community group, and you think that, you know, this could be, you know, an added asset for your organisation, get along to Cedar Court, Wakefield, not Bradford, on the 1st of February. What time does it start?
7 o'clock while 9 o'clock.
7 o'clock while 9 o'clock. You guys keep up the great work, and thank you for coming in. We're going to move back on to some of the sports hot topics. Geez, I've got so many here. You know, we obviously last week we had a bit of an organic conversation because we were surprised that we were able to get one of the Bradford Bulls' new owners involved. I just don't know where I should go with this first.
It felt like last week, Robbie, you were like a five-year-old boy just asking your hero questions. And me and Leo just sat aside. Yeah.
I got to admit, my missus was cringing a little bit. The first half of the show, you didn't even talk about anything of real interest to the Bradford public or the listening public about what's really been going on behind the scenes. You were just asking them. Yeah, I was a kid in a candy store. Yeah. I'll admit that. Actually, before we move past that, I just want to go back onto that. Leon, the new head coach, Jeff Toovey, what a coup. I got to say, what an absolute coup of a signing. Announced last Friday, been there, done that, coach NRL successfully, as a player, unprecedented, bit like Robbo, had a glass jaw, got knocked out and knocked silly more times than he cares to imagine. Halfback, got demoted like both me and Robbo did throughout our careers into the Donkeys to stand alongside the likes of Tonksy here. I don't know how Leon's been able to get away from that, but what's the feeling going down like in the camp? You guys must, as I understand it, I don't know Jeff personally, though I did play against him. As I understand it, he's an angry little man.
He's got a winning pedigree. I think it shows you the intentions of the people that have taken over the club that we can attract somebody of his name and his stature. He's a winner. He's a winner by a player and he's a winner by a coach. I think he's won the World Club Challenge in, I'm not sure what year it was, 2008, 2009 or whatever year that came over with Manly. So he's won the NRL. He's come over here and won the World Club Challenge. So he's a winner. So for a team that's played in the Championship to attract a name like Jeff Toovey shows you what we're all about.
And what about the noise coming out of the players? Are they excited by this? Are they apprehensive? Because obviously with that winner title comes a big reputation and expectation.
We're a blank board out here. You come over, he doesn't know anybody who's from over here, and he doesn't know our reputations or who we are as players, how we are as players. So we come over and we all start from scratch. So, you know, you've got to build your relationship up and work for the guy. So we're not too sure, are we? Nobody knows him. So we'll see how we go.
Very direct. What about you? What about you, Robbo? How would you have liked to have been coached by someone of that pedigree?
Oh, just a hooker and a half. Yeah, I love being coached by hookers and halves. No, to be fair, Nathan Brown used to call me Jeff Toovey at the time. I had no idea who it was. It turns out, like you
seriously?
Say, no, oh, no idea where it was.
I am.
I'm an Englishman, mate, as well. Obviously, I just concentrate
Henry
on those
Paul,
words.
Henry Paul.
But yeah, he said that we were a little bloke who was scrum half, turned hooker, who got himself knocked out every other week. So very much like me. But yeah, I've heard some very good things about the bloke. I've heard that he's a bit of an Alex Ferguson-like type of character that literally can blow the doors off the injuries when he's slightly mad. So get used to that, Leon.
Yeah, awesome.
All right. Before we go any further, we're going to have to shoot to a break. Once again, thank you for Tonka and Neil coming on the show. And we'll be back after the break with more hot topics. Stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
Pulse One Travel.
All right, final check on the road before we get back into it. Still long delays due to that accident on the M62 westbound between Junction 25 and Junction 24. And there's traffic building up in and around the roads and motorways near Allen Road Football Stadium with Leeds United in action tonight. Traffic easing elsewhere now as the rush hour passes. But if you know anything that we haven't mentioned, just give us a call if it's safe and legal on 01274 200 200.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the RHP show. Kicking straight back into, I think, you know, we've had so much time talking about the Bradford Bulls. It's time we caught up with a little bit of what else is going on around the league. Ryan Hall stating that they have faced down the Demons of 2016 for the Leeds Rhinos. It's an important year for them, isn't it?
It's a really important year to bounce back. Yeah, you know, it's probably it's the... a little bit of an unknown for them. I don't think they've never been in that situation for what, 10 years? Mm-hmm. And it has a real sort of, it can dent your confidence, and you can, there's sort of two ways you can look at it really. They embrace it, they learn from it and they move on, they become better players and better team for it. Or, it, you know, sometimes it can have that big a dent that you never recover from it.
Well, they had their Boxing Day, their annual Boxing Day match against Wakefield, where they actually put out almost their strongest side that was available. I think Gary Hetherington was really keen to impress upon the Leeds Rhinos faithful that last year was put behind them. But actually, Wakefield stepped up and they brought a whole bunch of hurt for the Leeds Rhinos. But then a couple of weeks later, they bounced back with a great performance against Hull KR. And that Hull KR team is looking like the team to beat. Obviously, it's looking like the team to beat in the championship this year. But they're taking it seriously in regards to preparing and trying to get back into the Super League, aren't they?
They want to come straight back up, don't they? I think it is one of those. Obviously, you get certain funds, don't you, when you go back down. I think your next year is your biggest opportunity, should we say.
Yeah, you get a balloon payment or a parachute payment, as they like to call it, but it doesn't compare to what you're obviously having to do. But they've had a massive resurgence from their supporters. So obviously it hurt them desperately that they got relegated, and especially in the fashion in which they did get relegated. But they've had a massive resurgence from their supporters. I think they've smashed their season ticket numbers by something like 50%. You know, 100% plus 50% on top of. Leon, opening game of the season, obviously the Bulls are travelling away to Hull KR, opening home game, away game of the season. Tough ask, you know, with a short preparation time.
Yeah, very tough. It's tough to go to Hull KR away at any time. You know, I've said it quite a few times on the show, even at Saints, we went there in Super League and we struggled all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think we won there for about 3 or 4 years on the bounce. So it's always a tough place to go. The crowd get right behind them. That wind comes flying down the stand. So it's going to be tough, but rugby's tough, isn't it?
Rugby is tough. But again, for Brian McDermott, one of our good friends, Leon, ex-teammate of ours and someone that we hold very dear to our own hearts, soul of Bradford when he was at the club as a player, this is an important year for him. Obviously, there won't be the distraction of having the training facility drowned out like it was last year with the big floods. So he's got to make sure that the ship rightens, so to speak.
Let's see how it goes this year. I'm not too sure how many signings they've made. How they're going to replace Sinny, how they're going to replace JP, which didn't happen last year. Mm-hmm. Seguiaro's gone back to Australia. He's not coming back. Mm-hmm. And that Bofalo obviously stayed there last year. So, you know, it's an unproven time. It's an untested time, really, for Leeds. They've had the success in the past, but it's a little bit of the uncertain, like Robbo was saying.
And the older players are getting older.
Exactly.
You know, like Rob Burrow, Danny Maguire, they have been sensational players in their day. You know, they've been two really good halves, haven't they? Mm-hmm. But they're getting older. And there's only so much guidance. There's only so many times that when you like, as you know, Rob, as with me, you like start giving up and you can kind of...
Robbo, it's fair to say there's only so many games you can play.
Yeah, there is.
You've only got so many games in you. It doesn't matter how old you are, but at some point you've only got so many games in you. We saw that with Paul Sculthorpe at the start of his career.
And you know what's really interesting now is actually with the new structure in place, there's actually... so many more games now being played.
Yeah, so we're in untested times for Leeds, so it's going to be really interesting to see.
For those teams, for the Super League teams that finish in the bottom four, they actually have to play an extra round of Challenge Cup games as well. So that's another game put on top. I think we overlooked that because obviously the top eight teams that we went through to the Super League playoffs to play for that competition, they actually don't come in until the fifth round. Yeah,
and then we wonder why, by the time that we get to play internationals, why our boys are burnt out.
Exhausted.
Yeah, you wonder why we play 40 games and they play 24, and then you wonder why our boys are absolutely shattered by the time we couldn't play in nationals. Come on, do the math.
Do the math.
It's a good point.
Yeah, and actually, on that point, though, I think we brushed over it quite quickly at the back end of last year. But they cancelled the international training camp, didn't they? Super League clubs stepped in and said, "No, we don't want our players missing. We've got the year's too big to prepare for, so we're going to cancel. We're not going to let our players go out there." So, in regards to the World Cup at the end of this year, Wayne Bennett is without what I would agree with him is a hugely important training program to make sure that they're in the right, they've prepared correctly for this hugely important tournament.
Yeah, and to be fair, Rugby League were going to offer a dispensations basis. So they were going to say that for every player that went over there, I think they might have, each club got 10 grand for every player, which a bit of a sweetener for clubs. But what they realised is, you know, the likes of Castleford were going to probably lose at Luke Gale a few weeks before the start of the season. When you're losing your main half, when you're the likes of Wigan and you're going to lose the core spine of your team, I'll be honest, we all want a really a strong international scene, but when you're a club coach or you're a club chairman, you want your club to win. And the way that the league is set up this year, you have to start
well. I don't think £10,000 solves that problem.
I've got a really good argument, a counter-argument for this. If you're looking to expand international rugby and you're telling us that, you know, we need to expand the game, we need to make it more important and put the international scene a little bit on the same line or above Super League players, then central funder players, if the RFL are paying you, your club, if you're playing, I don't know, let's say Luke Gale, 50 grand a year, playing in 40 grand a year, you are contracted to the RFL as a full-time player, like the RFU do, then you have a say what they do. Then you have a state, so you are going to 2 weeks away on a camp.
And I think we've seen from the growth of international rugby union, how that can strengthen every element of the game. More people interested,
absolutely.
More people writing commentaries, more cameras being able to break the sport as a whole. Some of it's played on Sky Sports, some of it's played on BT, you know, and more money gets injected into the sport.
It's something that we've been thriving for years. It's, you know, it's very much known it's a northern sport, but it's something that we've been looking for a long time.
If we want to expand rugby league, the only way to go about it is the international scene. That is it. But the problem is at the moment, we are not getting clubs buying into it. And on the face of it, in the papers, they'll tell all the fans, oh yeah, of course we want our players playing national. Behind the scenes, CEOs, chairmen are going to the league and going, you are not having our players for a training camp. Mm-hmm. We need them for Super League.
Yeah, and I get that.
I would do if I wanted to save my job.
Yeah.
If I were a coach, I want my best players playing for me.
Yeah, and fresh and making sure that they're, you know, we're singing from the same hymn sheet and there's synergy being created. Going to make the massive leap from the international game down to the amateur game, because obviously without those amateur kids coming through and actually getting the opportunity to filter up and get that quality and content coming through, we're not going to be anything as a sport. So Leon, that's a really, really tedious link. I like to say seamless link, but you've got an event coming up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I've got a promotion on Friday. It's a fundraising event this Friday down at Lawmar Club for Ryan Kershaw. He plays for Wyke Amateur Club. And he's been offered a scholarship to play rugby in America, but they've got to find half the funding.
Rugby union or league?
No, rugby league.
Rugby league?
Yeah, he's been offered a scholarship.
At a university?
I'm not too sure the exact.
It must be, or a college, and that's obviously playing in the competition then.
I'm not sure of the exact, so I've just got a time that I've got to be there, Rob. So basically, they're doing a question and answer and food from 7:30 till 8:00 start. Brian Noble's doing a question and answer. I'll be there. So if you're about and you want to support your local community.
You're not doing the question and answer as well?
I'm just being there to be Leon Price, I think.
An evening with Leon Price and... I'm joking.
I don't know.
Don is in the house. The Earl.
Someone's asked me to come. I've said, yeah, I'll go. And they said, well, you put it on the Robbie Hunter Paul show. I'll say, I'll see what I can do. What's my cut?
I love it. Have you tied him in to do any of those sort of appearances for the Luke Robinson testimonial as well?
Not yet. It's coming though.
Sam Tompkins confirming Tommy Lulawai's perfect replacement for Matty Smith. You agree?
Absolutely, yeah. I think Tommy was a proven player. He's a Wigan lad at heart, really. His wife's from Wigan. But Smeegs is one of my boys from Saints, so I'll say that Smeegs should have stayed there, really.
Do you know, I think they're going to miss... I think we're missing Smith. He plays very composed and he adds a lot of guile to him. I think we're going to miss him.
All right. Okay. So normally I rush through the final end of the show. I'm not going to do that today. So a big thank you for Neil and Big Tony coming on the show. Remember, 1st of February, if you run a sports organisation or some sort of hub of the community, get up to Cedar Court in Wakefield on the 1st of February. So get up there and you can see how you can get your hands on one of those defibrillators. My thanks to Leon. My thanks to Robbo for being part of the team once again tonight. My thank you for you listening at home, and check out the website so you can listen again. Love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6:00.